So the beginning of Kedoshim, the Chasam Sofer already points out that there are obviously many, many mitzvos that appear in Parsha Kedoshim, and he says it's a Parsha where Rov Gufei HaTorah are totally on the mitzvos, and the Parsha opens up by talking about how it has the mitzvos were said over in front of Kol Hadas B'nei Yisrael. So he says, you see from here that there's something significant about Dafka gathering together to learn, not just that, you know, we learn halachos. He says that when you learn the halachos in a quorum, in a large gathering, that itself is something significant. And he says because of the public setting, there's no time for introspection, there's no time for bedidas, there's no time to kind of reflect, kind of with everyone else. So therefore he says that the Torah warns that even during this very large gathering, kedoshim to you. You have to keep in mind that even in that context, you have to keep in mind the idea of being kadosh. The Chasam Sofer also notes, he says that in contrast to the way the Umos Olam view Hashem as being what he calls Elaka de Elaka, Hashem is like so far removed from this world, it has nothing to do with us, and he kind of just, you know, does his own thing, and we're on this world. So we obviously don't view Hashem like that. We say Ani Hashem, you know, we view a Kadosh Baruch Hu as close. That's the famous idea from the Rash but a Tshuva, where he talks about the duality of a bracha, where we say on one hand we say Atah, right, and then we say Lokeinu Malach HaOlam, right, Asher Kedeshanu, third person, second person, right. So we have this shift, and we talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu directly. That's something that we view Kadosh Baruch Hu as being very close and not far away. The Chasam Sofer also has an idea which is probably one of my favorite ideas ever, that based on Chasam Sofer's in Bereshis and Noach, where he talks about the distinction between Chanoch, Noach, and Avram, and the way that they kind of live their own lives, the way they relate to other people. Chanoch was a person who kind of just did his own thing. He was a malach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his life early. He had nothing to do with the outside world. He kind of just did his own thing. Noach was somewhere in the middle. Noach didn't really go out and do public kiruv or anything. He kind of just built a table. People came to him and asked questions, so he would tell them what was going on. But Avram was the go-getter. He was the person who actually went out and did things. So he says, in the context of kedoshim, he says that Avram was a person who, on the one hand, was parish for kadosh, but on the other hand, he was also more of a mabrios. So he had this like interesting balance of being a very holy, very spiritual person, but also he was a person who was engaged in the world around him. He didn't just like sit in a corner all day and do his sporos like Chanoch did. He actually went out and he did something. That's the ideal. That's the paradigm. That's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, is for a person to, on the one hand, be introspective and be holy, and on the other hand, to also be engaged in the world around him and to help people around him. Then the Chasam Sofer also notes that there are different types of precious. You have a precious of a person who is completely and utterly separated from Tanugi. He says, for example, you know that fire and water can't coexist. That's the same, you know, diametric opposition of Gashmius and Ruchnius. They literally two just don't exist together. But he says when you learn Torah, so learning Torah leads to the Iker form of Prisha, right? It leads to a more balanced form of Prisha, more than just let's just abstain from everything completely. And he says that's the whole idea of Siyag in the Torah. The Torah gives you a Siyag. When the Chacham give you a siag, it's in order that you don't indulge even in the things that are technically mutter. It's that you don't indulge in those things by setting up these kind of gedarim. The Kli Yakar points out that through mitzvos, that's how you attain kedusha. And he says, don't take kedusha lightly. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up this parsha by saying, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And he says the idea of a geder means to stay away from those things which, technically speaking, are mutter, because you know atu it's going to lead to something which may be usher. So therefore, he says that's by Matan Torah, because even though technically there was no isser for the people to be with their wives, they were poor Ishmael Isha anyway. So that this way they kind of enhance their status of kedusha in that regard. Also, Rabbeinu Bachai notes that, again, quoting from the Pesukim of Mishlei, he says that a person shouldn't be drawn after his taiva. He says if a person subdues his taivas completely, so then he's like a malach. If you give in to your taivas, so you're like a behemoth. So he says that every creature in the world before Adam was created was either what he calls sichli or artsy. It was either intellectual, like a malach, or it was artsy. It was just physical, like an animal. So Adam was created as a kind of a fusion of the two. Adam was today, he was, you know, kind of a balance between ruchnius and gashmius. And he says that before Adam sinned, before he ate from the tzedah, so he was also had the madriga of a malach. So once he sinned, he was kicked out of Gan Eden. He was given skin. He was given physicality. He ate from the grass of the earth. He also says that Rabbeinu Bachai says that breaking taiva is something which is very sweet for the seichel, right? We kind of don't think of it in those terms, but he says that sometimes when you try to overcome taiva, even though it's difficult physically, but sometimes it can be intellectually, it can be mentally rewarding to do that. And he says that if you're drawn after taiva, if a person gives it to his taiva, he says that person is in violation of Kol HaTorah Kula. He says because the whole premise of the Torah, he says this could also be explained what we said before from the Chasam Sofer. Another reason Gufa why Kedoshim opens up with Kedoshim to you is because all of these mitzvos in the parsha are totally on being kadosh. That you can't come, even come onto mitzvahs in the first place unless you have this first stage of kedusha. And then he also points out that we're punished also for chet hamachshava, because chet hamachshava comes from the leaves. So he says it's not, you shouldn't take that lightly either. Right? Don't just think that there's an isser in maisa, right? There's also yisurim associated with ri'iyah and with machshava and things of that nature as well. Never been b'chai discusses other forms of chet. We have dibur, so you can have lashon hara, you can have rechilas, you can have nivol peh. Those are all things that are usher that a kash baruch who doesn't like. And he says that since this type of dibur is very common amongst younger people, right? He says that's why pasuk says in Mishlei, so people who are younger, Bacharim, he says they're not happy because they all have this taiva to speak out and to say what comes to their mind. So he says that's the goof of what Hashem tells you not to do. So when it comes to food, the same thing is true. You could have literally machalas asuros, or even within the context of dvarim that are mutter, but he says overindulging in things that are mutter. He says that's why David HaMelech says in Tehillim, this sorasa chab is soch me'ai, that David fills himself with the Torah. Instead of indulging in things that are permissible or kavachomer and things that are usher, David fills himself up with the Torah. And finally, the fourth example is with the guf, where you can be drawn after taiva for arayos, even if it's mutter, right? That's the Rambam's lashon quotes. He says a person, even though technically you're allowed to be with your wife, assuming that she's not an idah, he says, but you shouldn't be like, I think the lashon he uses is like a rooster, just kind of just do just have relations all the time. You have to be porish, you have to set gedarim even within things that are mutter as well. Okay, then Rabbeinu Bachai also notes, and again, there's a lot of, if you look in Kedosha, so the mitzvah seems kind of random, and the sequence of the mitzvah seems to be very random, so we'll see, coming up, the Orach Chaim tries to show how there's a connection, there's a bridge between all the mitzvahs, and how they're specifically sequential, and they're not just, kind of thrown in randomly. But here, Rabbeinu Bachai points out, he says that the Pesukim go on to say, right, when the Pesukim go on to describe the Isser of turning towards Avodah Zarah, right, so he says that a person should not be point a leave towards Avodah Zarah, you should view that like Hevel Varik, you should view that as something which is meaningless, which is pointless. Or he says, alternatively, another pshat of kedoshim to you is referring to a person's machshava v'shas tashmish amita. He says that's what the throwback to the end of Acharimus. The end of Acharimus went through all the ashara for Yisurei Arayos. So as like a segue into kedoshim, it's referring back to the Arayos. You should be kadosh when in the context of Arayos. Then Rabbi Mechai has a fascinating ha'ara. He says that it's more difficult for a woman to reach this madriga of being kadosh than for a man, for the simple reason that a woman is, for the most part, for certain mitzvos, she's not mitzvah viosa in certain mitzvos. So therefore, just by definition, she won't get as much schar. The way the Mari Kedushin seems to be machria, that you get more schar for being a mitzvah viosa, because you have a bigger yitzhar to not do the mitzvos. It's just more difficult practically for a woman to reach that madriga. So therefore, he says, because she's not mitzvah, then what is the pasuk of Ez Shabso Sai Teshmoru refer to? So Rabbeinu Bachai says, the Gemara points out that for a Talmud Chacham, the Iker Ona, the Iker time to have relations is on Shabbos. What's the significance of that? So he quotes the pasuk at the end of Sefer Yeshayah, the pasuk that we say on the Haftorah of a fast day. It says, La Sarisim Asher Yishmeru Es Shabbosai, right? Uvacharu Basher Chafakti Machazikim Bivri. So what does it mean? The Sarisim who keep my Shabbos. It's like everyone's Chazikim Shabbos. What's the chiddush of a Saris? So he says it's like a mushal that means that a person who's Misaris himself during the week, he holds back from having relations during the week, and he only has relations on Shabbos, such a person, his children are going to be elevated. That tash, which is a form of kedusha, the Orach Chaim Alpi Kabbalah connects. And also, he says like bia during the week is connected to the Sitra Achra, and on Shabbos is connected to the Olam Atzilos, so it has some sort of elevated status on Shabbos over the rest of the week. Then he says Alpi Drush, based on this what we just said before, Al Tifnu El Ha'Elila. Don't look at other women, because if you think about other women, the Shas Tashmish and the pasuk Velohei Masechalo Sasu Lachem is going to lead to all sorts of bad things for one's children. Okay. Then the Orach Chaim writes an interesting idea. He says that if you look at the Pesukim at the beginning of Kedoshim, so we find that it's not just that Moshe Rabbeinu was transmitting these halachos to Klal Yisrael multiple times. He told it over to Aru, he told it over to Nadav and Avihu, or to Elazar Yisrael, and he told it over to the rest of Klal Yisrael. He says to teach you an important lesson that there's a notion of transmission, of Mesorah. It's not just Moshe comes and tells everyone the same thing over and over. There needs to be Rabbeinu, right? Not everyone's Rabbeinu can be Moshe Rabbeinu. You can't have Moshe Rabbeinu teach everyone. There needs to be a chain of Mesorah that goes down to other people who are also able to teach. He says also another benefit of having multiple teachers is that you can have kind of checks and balances. You can make sure that that if one person says something incorrectly, you'll be able to call it out for you. You'll be able to know that he's misrepresenting something that Moshe Rabbeinu said. Then the Orach Chaim also asks, he says, like, what does it even mean that we have to be Kadosh, like Hashem? What does that even mean? Kadoshim to you, we should try to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't even understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? He's beyond our Hasaga. We don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How on earth can we emulate Him? How could we be Kadosh like Hashem if we don't even begin to understand Him? So Orach Chaim has a Chiddush. He says, you're right, we don't understand Hashem, but if you're Makadosh yourself, so Hashem says, I'm going to consider it as if you were Makadosh me. In other words, we don't really have a good method to literally emulate Hashem. I mean, the Gemara gives us an Eitzah, you should be Kofar Misim, and you should be Benachem Avil, to emulate Hashem, but that doesn't get to the essence of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So right, you're never going to understand the essence of Hashem. Just be Makadish yourself. Set up Gedarim and Siyagim for yourself. And in that way, Hashem says, it's Ki'ilu, like you're Makadish me. Then the Or HaChaim also points out that Hashem commanded us to continue the human race, so that's part of the mitzvah Peru Revu. So he says, because there's such an important role in that mitzvah, so the Yetzer Hara pushes back very strongly. He says, that's why there's such a big time for Arayos, because if used properly, it leads to this very important tachlis of continuing the human race. So he says, that means that the corollary of that is that when it's used improperly, there's going to be a great taiva for it. He says, it's not an easy taiva to overcome Stam, right? He says, for example, if we say, you know, like the Gemara from Sanhedrin, when the Achik doesn't go wanting to be mevatel the yitzhar for arayos completely, so then like even the chickens didn't lay eggs. So he says you can't go to that extreme, because then you want a mitzvah puruvu, right? There won't be a mitzvah vibam. All these mitzvahs that are totally on bia are not going to exist anymore, which can't happen. So he says what you have to do is that you can't engage in these things for the purposes of satisfying a taiva, even if they're mutter. You can't do it for that purpose, right? If you do it for that purpose, that's the wrong color, that's the wrong machshava. So you have to do it for the purpose of continuing the race of continuing the population of the world. That's why you have to engage in these actions, and not because Stam you want to satisfy your taiva. Then the Or HaChaim says, a person may say to himself, how on earth am I supposed to overcome my natural inclination? He says, like, what do you want from me? Like, this is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was a classic. You pre-programmed me to do all these things, so why am I at fault for doing avirus? So he says that it's not really true, because when a person does a mitzvah, so a Kadosh Baruch Hu is shora ruach on that aver that did the mitzvah, and vice versa. If you do an avira, so some kind of kalach from the sitra achra from ra also is shora on there. So it's not that you're necessarily, meaning, obviously every person has, you know, netios in a certain direction. But at the end of the day, if a person does a mitzvah, he's going to have more kolach in that aver to do more mitzvos, and vice versa. So he says it really is more totally on you than it is just on your pure inclination. Also, the Or HaChaim also notes that what is it? Being kadosh refers to a form of dveikus lashchina. So he says that, don't say that, as we mentioned before, that only the technical maisa arayus is asur, right? But also even just chena machshava and re'iyah revlos asur acharei levavchem acharei nechem, those are also included in that isur, as much so, if not even more so, as the Gemara Kiddusha points out, right? Like kashin hurure avira yosur me avira, right? Because you do an avira, so did the avira, do tshuva, you move on. But if you have your huri avira, so you're constantly thinking about the avira, it's always on your mind, so that could be even more harmful than the avira itself. If you look, the pasuk says kiddushim tihiyu in lashon asid. Why is lashon asid? He says because there's no end to the mitzvah of being kadosh. He says every time you attain a level of kiddusha, you just went up a step, you went up a rung, but you're not there yet. You can keep on going, you can keep on making yourself even holier. So he says, and there's no limit to how much kiddusha you can attain. So he says that's why it's lashon asid. You're always moving forward. He says also that it's written in Lashon Yachid, so a person shouldn't think that this mitzvah was only for the Yechidei school like Moshe Rabbeinu. Because everyone can be Kadosh, everyone has a mandate to become Kadosh, and he says every person can attain a level like Moshe Rabbeinu, whether it means literally, whether it means you can reach your full potential, whatever that means, every person has the capability of reaching a certain Madriga. Then Or HaChaim also notes that another reason why, Atam perhaps, behind the reason why there was a din of Kadosh to you, is because Hashem is basically replacing us from the Malachim. We are taking over in their roles, so if we are acting in the form of Malachim, so we have a mandate by definition to be holy. Also, the Or HaChaim points out, the Chasam Sofer points out, he says that on Shabbos and Yontif, generally speaking, the Dayanim would appoint Shomrim by the orchards and the gardens to ensure that there wasn't any preaches going on. He says, even though it's a Zman of Kedusha, it's Shabbos, it's Yontif, but he says, you know, our Chumrias, our Gashmias is very prone to sin, right? That's the famous Tosus at the end of Kedusha, the Nafei Aleph, where Tosus talks about the Minah that people have to fast Bahav, right? After the beginning of Iyar and Mar Cheshvan, because he says, on the Moadim, even though it's a time of Simcha and a time, he says, but something people overindulge, even things that are Mutter, so you need to get a form of kapara by fasting for those things that you may have done. So he says again, same idea that they appointed these like shomrim to ensure that there wasn't too much preaches going on. Then the Kli Yakar says, and the pasuk says, "For Ishimova Vivtirova Shabbos Osai Tishmoru." So he says, "If your father," he says, "What does that phrase mean?" So he says, "If your father wants you to believe that there's no Av other than him, meaning Hakadosh Baruch Hu is not really wants you to believe only in him, then he says he's going to try to convince you to not keep Shabbos, and therefore you have to have extra zrizus." That's why that's the connection between Ishimova Vivtirova Shabbos Osai Tishmoru. Then the Or HaChaim notes what's the significance of Ishimova Vivtiro? The image of a parent will stop you from doing arayos. So for example, the famous Gemara Sotah, right, but with Yaakov and Yosef, when Yosef sees the image of his father Yaakov, he holds back from engaging in relations with Eshes Potiphar. The Rambam has a whole chat up in Kabbalah about how the 7 days of the week are connected to the 7 tzaddikim. Yosef represents Shabbos, which is the Sod of Shalom, and he says that's why you should say Shabbat Shalom, or I don't know how he said it, on Shabbos, and he says, we say HaPuri Sukkah Shalom Aleinu, right, the whole idea of Shalom is represented by Shabbos. Also, Rambam has a very interesting psychological idea behind the connection of Ishimova of Vitiro. He says that when a person fears his father, so in kind your son will come to fear you. If your son sees that you treat your father with respect, so immediately he's going to treat you with respect also. He sees that you don't care about your father and you don't care about treating him with respect, so he'll do the same to you as well. It's kind of reflective. So he says that if you want your son to treat you with respect, if you want him to be the kind of mitzvah of Ishimova of Vitiro, you have to do that to your own father and make sure that your son sees how you relate to your parents. We know the Or HaKadosh also quotes the famous thing that if your parents are Rishayim, they don't do tshuva, so there's no Chiyuv Mora. You can't be Mavaz of your parents, but there's no Chiyuv Mora in such a case. But he says, let's say you're not sure, let's say it's Minastam. It's Minastam, you can assume that your parents probably did tshuva, unless Masav Mochicha, unless you know for a fact. You can see Beferish that they haven't done tshuva. Like the Gemara in Kiddushin, right? The Gemara has the famous din of a person says, Haram and Kudeshes Liyam and Ash, and Tzadik Gomer, even if he's a Russian right now. So he says that works because we assume that he has Hirhure tshuva. Again, unless it's clear as day that he's still doing Avirus. Then the Lord has great Kashi. He says the Rashi quotes the example. He says trying to explain the connection between Ishimova of Vitiro and Eschap Sosai Tishmuru. He says, well, if your parents tell you Michal Shabbos, you can't listen to them, right? So and Barashi is not only telling true by Michal Shabbos, only it's who I did to any mitzvah. If your parents tell you to violate even a din derabbanan, but if it's a chum Rabbi Alma, so then you have to listen to your parents. They tell you to violate any din even a din derabbanan, so you have to listen to follow the Torah and ignore your parents. So Rashi says, why does the Gemara give this example of Chil Shabbos is like one of the most chummer things in the world? Meaning if I'm reading Rashi, I would say, oh, parents tell you Michal Shabbos, you can't listen. But they tell you to, as a Kohen, to be Tanu L'Misa, they tell you to not do Hashem HaSamida, so I would have thought, maybe I should listen to it. It's only a Mitzvah Kala. Kamash, well, you don't. So why did Gemara just give an example of a really light Mitzvah Kala, and that was the Kavach Omer Shabbos? Why did he give the example of Shabbos? So he goes to the Rambam. He says that the Rambam says that if your parents are Rishayim Gemurim, so you're not allowed to hit them, right? You can't mavaz, you can't hit them. But there's no chiyuv of kibud or mora for parents who are Rishayim Gemurim. But if they only do miktas aviros, they're not Rishayim Gemurim, you still have to honor them. So what's the hagdar of a Rasha Gomer? What's a Rasha Gomer mean? It says a Rasha Gomer means person who violates every single possible halacha that comes their way. Anytime there's a possible opportunity to do a mitzvah, they don't do it, or they're actively violating avira. So he says, not keeping Shabbos is connected to Kol HaTorah Kula. As we know, Gemara points out, the Shabbos is Shkula connected to Kol HaTorah. So if a person, therefore, there's only a din of Ishimo Vivitiro if, as Shabbos Osai Tishmoru. Because if you're not keeping Shabbos, it's Ki'ilu, you're a Rasha Gomer, it's Ki'ilu, you're violating the whole Torah. So Orchaim says it's not Pshat that, of course it's not Shabbos La'afuke, mitzvahs that are lighter than Shabbos. Shabbos is a paradigm because Shabbos is the example of a person, if you don't keep Shabbos, it's Ki'ilu like you're a Rasha Gomer, because it's Ki'ilu like you're not keeping the entire Torah. Then Al-Pi Kabbalah is a whole other Pshat about how Shabbos side, the double lashon implies Laila and Yom, which how the Laila is Bechina of the Kala, and the Yom is the Bechina of the Chassan, and how you have to be, how the Chassan is Mashpia on the Kala, it's like the Poel Makabel kind of relationship. And he talks about how, he quotes from the Ibn Ezra, how there was this one guy in times of Ibn Ezra, he calls him a Toa Echad in times of Ibn Ezra, who said that really the Yom comes before the Laila, which may or may not have been the Rashbam Shita, the controversial Rashbam, the Gracious, that whatever, some publications decided to take out of the Rashbam. Then he says that, but it was revealed by Derech Nes to the Ibn Ezra, and the Ibn Ezra wrote a poem about Shabbos. He called the Geras HaShabbos, and in this poem he goes out of his way to refute this guy. He says, no, it's not because Laila comes first. He says, that's why it says Ish Imova Aviv Tiro. Imo is Laila, then Aviv is Yom, so that's why Imo comes before Aviv. Fine. Okay, then the Chasam Sofer says, the pasuk continues, right? It says, "Shabbos Tishmoru, Ani Hashem, Al Tifnu Elo Elun." What's the connection? So the Chasam Sofer says that Hashem will give us Arichos Yamim if, number one, we have Mora Horim, we fear our parents. Then we have, if we keep Shabbos, and Gemara Shabbos says that we get Nachala, believe in Zara, we get endless amounts of Nachala. And he says, and also, if we don't have Hirurei Avodah Zara, Al Tifnu Elo Elilim, so we'll be Zocha to all of those things. Then the Chasam Sofer says that if a person who says, every person in the world should think their parents are bringing them. Mimarafsha. Why? If you're a person who's full of Kashmias and steeped in Olam Hazeh, so thank your parents for giving you Olam Hazeh. And if you're a person who's a tzaddik and you're engaged in spiritual things, a ruchnia, so then noach lo shenivra, right? Then it's amazing that you've been created, so therefore you should thank your parents for that also. He says that's the reason why Yaakov Avinu was punished for running away from his parents. He should have thanked his parents for all those years, that even though all the Farshim Asim didn't told us, but his parents told him to run away. Okay, so whatever. Figure out what the answer to that question is. But he says that's why he was punished, because he should have been there to honor his parents. Okay, then also interesting, the Chasam says an interesting halamina that one might have thought that when your father tells you to mechal Shabbos, he's really being mechanech you in the din of asei docha los asei, namely kibbut aveim should be docha Shabbos, right? Shabbos is alav, although to the Shabbos is really alav and an asei, but whatever. In other words, because Shabbos chora it's alav of shomer, right? Don't violate Shabbos, but there's a mitzvah asei of kabbalis avicha. So bechora the father's mechanech you in the din of asei docha los asei, kamash blood that you can't listen to your father in that case. Kamash blood, right? Kuchum chayav mechvodi. Your father's also mitzvah to keep Shabbos, so he can't tell you to violate Shabbos. The chachamim, the chasam, also chachamim made dinei derabanan in order to protect Shabbos. But he says that there's no reason for the Rabbanon to the base of Mikdash. We know there's a famous din, right? Ain't Shvus Mikdash. So that din is not going to apply there. Also, the Chasam Sofer notes that we know about Yitzias Mitzrayim from our parents, and we're a mamin in Yitzias Mitzrayim because of what our parents tell us. And by keeping Shabbos and by feeling the Kedushas Hasman, you're also going to feel the Kedushas Hamakom of the Mikdash. That's the connection, right? Umikdash Yitirav, Shabbos Osei Tishmoru, and Ishimov of Yitirav. All those dinim are connected to each other based on that idea. Then the Chasam Sofer says on the Pasuk of Al Tifnu Elalil Velohim Asechalo Sasu Lachem, that if a person only turns to Kol Yaakov, and you're only focused on the Torah, then the Yedei Esav, the Avodah Zarah won't have any shlita over you. The Kli Yakar quotes based on the pasuk. He says, "Don't make gods for other people," which is also an issue. Even if you're not going to take the god for yourself, you can't make Avodah Zarah for other people. And also, don't be makam Avodah Zarah from other people either. So he says, by Avodah Zarah and by Pigol, which these two are linked to each other in Kedoshim, right? Those two halachos. So the kavana matters, not just the actual ma'isa. Then the Kli Yakar points out that Kachim, when you check the karban, so you require kavana, but when you give tzedakah, right? Tzedakah is a mice that doesn't require any sort of kavana. You know, it's also soken by leket shechem peya pasuk zu v'kutzrechem es ktsir arzechem lo sechale. So the kutzrechem is a lashon rabim and lo sechale is lashon yachid. So what's the difference? So the Kli Yakar says that don't think that the guy's going to go to another field to be supported. You have to give him privately. You have to give him in a way they won't be embarrassed. And he says also that the pasuk says lonchem tizbachu. Don't only bring a karban when things are going good for you. When things are going well for you, bring a karban also. You know, even when you're not in that situation, Rabbeinu Bechai points out that when the Torah says don't worship these other gods, right? Al tifnu al elilim, that refers to what he calls schalim hanifradim. Schalim hanifradim are essentially referred to malachim. He says that they're beneath the Esser Sphiros and they're called elilim. The word elilim comes from ilus v'koach. They have a certain kind of koach, a certain kind of strength. And he says the word elilim is double to show that their koach isn't intrinsic, but it's external. And their koach comes from the Shem Hamiyuchad. It comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we say in davening every morning, where we say kikol aloeh ha'amim elilim. In other words, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating the heavens, his wholeness and his strength was revealed, that it comes dafka from Hashem and not from anybody else. So when you have these, whether you want to call them malachim, you want to call them some kind of other creature, so he says that these creatures that are not a Kadosh Baruch Hu, they don't draw their koach intrinsically, right? The kochavim, the mazlos, they don't have any intrinsic koach, their koach is external, and their koach comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then also, the Or HaChaim asks, why does the Torah say Elohei Masecha if we already have a lav of Al Tifnu Elohim? In other words, what's the lav of Elohei Masecha adding that we don't already know? So the Or HaChaim says that when a person does a Maisa Hagod, when you do something proper, so the Shechita rests on you, and when you do an Avira, so as we already mentioned this before, when you do an Avira, that Aver through which you committed the Avira has a Ruach HaTumah that's Shora on the Aver, and it's like there's like a screen separating between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says that when you do the avira, so he says that you're now you have this like blockage between you and Hashem, and the goal is in order. And he says that these gods, these elilim, are basically covering up from the Mekor HaChayim. They're covering up your source of life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says when a person is kofer b'avodah zarah, when you deny avodah zarah, so the Gemara says you're moda b'chol Torah kula, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes your god at that point. Okay, then the pasuk says v'chisiz b'chu zemach shlamim l'Hashem. So Rabbeinu Bechai says when a person does avoda, it has to be dafka l'Hashem, not to other gods. You're doing the avoda, and it has to be l'Hashem, meaning l'shma. It can't be amanas the kavah pras. It can't be for any other external reasons. It has to be because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do it. And also Api Kabbalah, Rabbeinu Bechai says that the vav and the hey tizbachu, it doesn't just say tizbachu, the vav and the hey represent the notion of din and racham coming together, which is the notion of the Shechina being there. He says the same thing is true in Parsha Shmos. The Bas Parah opens up the box, tiftach vatir'ehu es hayelet. Vatir'ehu, that hey and the vav at the end is that she saw the Shechina, as Rashi says. So it's the same idea, the Shechina was there also at that point. The Or HaChaim asks, he says, why is it that if a Kohen eats kachim chutz hazman, pigol, these things, the chiyuv ekaris, there's very, you know, pretty severe yisurim compared to eating shkatzim and rebusim, which ostensibly should be a lot worse than eating kosher meat outside the proper time. Says, why are those only yichiyuvei lav and chivakos? What's the difference? So the Or HaChaim says a fascinating idea, which he actually talks about in a few different places, that only a Jew is matami ba'ohel, only a dead Jew is matami ba'ohel, because Klal Yisrael has a certain level of kedusha. But that kedusha leaves, so he says, what happens when a Jew dies? So a Jew had a lot of kedusha. When he dies, all the tumah, all the klipos come and they gather onto the Jew. There's a very high level of tumah. He says, kachim or this very high madriga. So the second that you're mechalal that kedusha, it's full of tumah. All the tumah comes on. But he says, a guy that shuts him, the veils and trefos, those things don't have so much kedusha to begin with. So he says the tumah doesn't correlate to the kedusha because there wasn't a lot of kedusha in the first place. The Or HaChaim also discusses the lashon rab lashon yachid distinction of uvekutzrichem versus lo sechaweh, and he points out that there's a chiyuv peya even if a person doesn't have a lot of fuel to give. He still has a chiyuv to give some of whatever he has. Then he says that a person shouldn't say that if I failed to bring peya bevizan I'm chayav karis, and therefore what's the point of bringing it anymore? No, first of all, you're not chayav karis for not bringing peya. He says you should keep on giving despite the fact. And he says also that kedusha leaves a rosha when a person is kadosh, and even the and he says therefore when a person does a mitzvah, so that rosha, because it's from the Arizal, that even if a person gets cut off, the katsir, in other words, like the offshoots of what you did, remain in your children. Then the Chasam Sofer has all sorts of interesting ways to understand the psukim of lo signovu, lo chachashuv, lo sashakru ish bamiso. So he quotes that lo sashakru is the famous case of the Gemara about Shnei Yosef and Shuk, right? You have two guys with the same exact name, and there's a shtar hava that says that they owe, you know, that Reuven owes them, or sorry, that they owe Reuven $1,000, but they each claim that it's the other guy, and you can't prove it, and whatever, so the Mala can't collect. He says, even though technically they can get around it, but he says that's a violation of lo sashakru, because one of them is obviously lying. Then he says that even though the Gemara beginning of Matzil, the word Shavu talks about even if a person is choshed on Mamona, the Gemara says we assume that person is not choshed on Shavua. In other words, even a person who we know for a fact has stolen before, we don't assume that a person is going to be choshed to take a Shavua Sheker. Why not? So the Gemara says, where Shavua says that a Shavua Sheker is very, very severe, it's very serious because the world shakes when a person says a Shavua Sheker because it's a form of being a Zalzal and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, a person is not going to have the gut to do such a thing, so we're not choshed people on taking Shavua Shekers. Then he says that the Kliyakar says the famous distinction of lo signovu versus lo tignu. So what's the difference? Why by theft does it say lo signovu, yet by kidnapping it says lo tignu? So he says when it comes to stealing money, so you know you're going to find a person to split the money with. Lo tignovu in the plural. When you kidnap someone, there's no guarantee that anyone's going to want to buy the person you kidnapped on the slave market or on the kidnapping market, whatever it is. So he says therefore lo tignu is lashon yachid because there's no guarantee you're ever going to find anyone to sell the person to. Right? The halach is you're only chayav misa for kidnap if you actually sold the person into slavery. Right? You just kidnap someone, so you're not chayav misa. So from the beginning of Parshas Ki states it, right? Lo sesamir ba tachas asher yinisa. So those dinim only apply to a person who actually sold someone. If you don't find them, I'll be for the person you kidnapped. So you're not, meaning it's usher to kidnap, obviously, but you're not chayav misa unless you kidnapped and also sold someone into slavery afterwards. Okay, the Rebbeinu Chai just points out from Lo Tignovu that you can't steal even if you plan on returning the theft afterwards. He says even if as a joke you're not allowed to do it. The Or HaChaim writes that Geneva is juxtaposed to the din of Peya, because just like a person shouldn't take his object back from the Gan, even though technically if Reuven steals from me, so of course I can take my object back, right? Assuming that he wasn't coated with Kidding Zela or whatever, but it's my object. So you still shouldn't do it because it just looks bad, right? It looks like you're stealing, even though obviously it belongs to you. So he says, so too, you shouldn't steal Peya, even though Peya is really technically Hefker to the Aniyim, but the Aniyim should take it in such a way that it looks like they're stealing. It says, Lo Tignovu refers to taking money from your friend Shlomi Das. Lo Sechachashu is the famous, right, the Machalukas Rashi, the Rambam, the beginning of Sanhedrin, right? Lo Sechachashu is when somebody comes into your hand, beheter in the first place, and then later on, you decide to not pay back. And Lo Sechachashu is when you're lying in front of Eden. And then the Chasam Sofer, the Or HaChaim says, if a person steals, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring an Eid Echad who knows about it, and if the guy still denies it, he'll bring it to two Eders, so eventually he's going to get caught in what he did anyway, so it's not worth for him to keep on denying it. The Chasam Sofer has an interesting idea. He says, "Lo sashakru, lo sishahu v'shmi lashakir." So he says, the person should not be hypocritical about himself, and he shouldn't say, "Ma'anu mechayinu mechasinu," like what are we worth when he feels very high and very elevated. In other words, he shouldn't lie. He shouldn't lo sashakru. But he says, so when do we say that? We say that by the Elon Yom Kippur, when we've been fasting and davening the whole day. So then it's actually a little more legitimate. It's not so hypocritical to say that at that point, to say those words.
Or every morning.
What?
Or every morning.
Yeah, it's true. That's true too. Okay. Then the Or HaChaim points out the pasuk of Lo Sashok. He says, don't think that only Geneva, which is Shalom Midas, is Asher. No, he says, even
Gezela, which is done in broad daylight, and Oshek, which is initially the heter, but you decide to not pay back later on, that's also Usher. And he says, don't say that. The guy's my friend. He's Mocha. Don't say that. He says, or, you know, also he says that the Gemara in Brachos, right, that you can't get Hanaf from Olmazeh without making a Bracha first. Then the Orchem has an interesting idea also, where he says that the wages that we owe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are the mitzvos. He says that, fascinating idea, he says that B'nai Torah don't have Parnassa in this world. Why not? Because he says that this world cannot bear all the schar tov that tzaddikim deserve. Just, it's not shayach to give all the schar that tzaddikim deserve in this world. Just, right, it says, nekadim shayach with schar mitzvah b'hayal malika. It's not that you don't get schar in this world. It's that there's not enough in this world for the schar of tzaddikim. So he says, what happens? When the tzaddikim do mitzvahs, the beitanim get all the rewards, the beitanim get all the wealth, and they have to support the tzaddikim as a result. And he says that the ashirim are literally like a pipe, like a gutter to help the tzaddikim. That's what they're here for. So all the people who get wealthy, it's only on the heels of the tzaddikim. When the tzaddikim do mitzvahs, so their schar is too big to get anything this world, so all the beer get the results, and they have to help the tzaddikim out as a result of that. Okay, then Rabbi Mechai points out, right, the Torah, right, the pasuk says, "Losakal cheresh." He says, "Losakal cheresh." Kal chomer, a person who can't hear, right? So, can call a cheresh for sure. You can't call a person who can't hear. And he says, "You see, from you have to be guarded with your speech and the way that you speak, right, the way you speak and your habits." Then also the Kliyakar, a fascinating understanding of Losasu Avel Bamishpat. He says basically, practice what you preach. Don't be a person who says that this is a problem and then you go ahead and do it yourself, right? Don't say X and do Y, right? Be consistent. Okay. Then the Kliyakar notes in the pasuk about Lo Sisa Pnei Davar Lo Sadar Pnei Gadol B'Tzedek Tishpon Amisacha. So the Kliyakar says that either it's referring to being down the kaschus, or maybe it refers to the fact that Amisacha is only referring to a person who's Amisacha B'Torah V'Mitzvos. Only that type of person you have to judge favorably. Whereas a Rasha, so we assume that a Rasha is going to try to make a kanuni, is going to try to trick you somehow, so therefore there's no mitzvah. In fact, you don't have a chuyah to judge a Rasha. If you know a person, you don't have to judge him favorably in such a situation. Then he says, Lo Seilech Rachil Be'Amecha is Dafka Be'Amecha. But if it's a situation of, possible, let's say, if the Kliyakar quotes based on a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that for a Baal Machlokes, it's mutter, maybe it's even a mitzvah to speak Lashon Hara about a Baal Machlokes, so people know to stay away from him, and that's connected to Lo Salon Adam Re'echa, not to get involved in Machloksim. Says that could be the whole question. The Kliyakar in Vayesh, of course, is also by the brothers and Yosef, that when the brothers Taina Yosef was a Baal Lashon Hara, so the Kliyakar quotes in Yerushalmi says Taina against them, it's not true, that you guys are a Baal Machlokes, and there's a heter, maybe even a mitzvah to speak Lashon Hara against Baal Machlokes. Okay, then Orach Chaim says, based on the connection of Lo Seilech Rachil Be'Amecha, Lo Salon Adam Re'echa, he says, if you hear about a murder plot to kill someone, don't pull the Rechilus card. Don't be like, oh, it's Rechilus, I can't tell. No, you have to go tell. It's a chiyuv. It's a violation of Lo Salon Adam Re'echa. If you don't, he says, that was the problem that happened with Gedaliah ben Achikam. He didn't believe the rumors that Yishmael ben Nesani was coming to kill him. He says that he was killed as a result. He says, you see that there's no din of Rechilus in that case. The famous pasuk of Lo Sisna Sechicha Be'Amecha. So Orach Chaim says, what does that mean? He says, it means don't bottle up hatred. In other words, you have to verbalize the tochacha, and then one of two things will happen. Either the guy will tell you, oh, I was really doing X, Y, and Z, and you just misunderstood, or he'll say, you're right, and I'm going to have charata for what I did. Then, Lorchem has another shot on how to understand that pasuk. He says that that not only is literally hating another Jew usher, that's obviously usher, but even anything which would detract from the way you look at him, from your perception of him, is also a problem, even if it's not literally sinna. Then he says also that a Talmud Chacham, who's an ach, maybe called Bisum Dezinah, right? Manachai Vereai, she says, you could assume, the Gemara says, if you see a Talmud Chacham who did an avira, you can assume that he probably did tshuva by the next night. But he says, for a regular person, if you know a guy's a Baal Avir, he's not doing tshuva, there's a mitzvah to snow, so there's a din, you have to hate him. Okay, then the pasuk says, right, famous pasuk, so the Kliyakar writes that just like an Ariv would give Musr to a Loveh who is spending a crazy amount of money, knowing that he's the one who's going to have to take the windfall, you know, if the Loveh spends all his money, so the Kliyakar gives a beautiful mashal. He says, we know the din of Kol Yisrael Ringim Zebazad. So he says, we're going to feel the Onesh if any Jew does a Chit. And he gives a mashal. He says, let's say there's a guy drilling a hole in the bottom of a boat. And the guy says, leave me alone, I'm drilling a hole, but it's my room, it's my area. So everyone looks at him and says, you're crazy, the boat's going to capsize, we're all going to die, we're all going to drown if you drill a hole in the bottom of the boat. It's not pshat that, like, oh, I'm doing an avira, therefore I'm fine, and therefore everyone else is okay, because, no, when you do an avira, you affect the entire body. It's like an onesh, it's like a consequence, right? If you drill a hole in a boat, it's not onesh that you're going to drown. Everyone's going to drown if there's a hole in the boat. That's just the way it is. That's what's going to happen. So he says, same idea here also, that everyone's going to drown. Then the Kliyakar has another very interesting question. The pasuk says, Losiko Lositor is B'nei Amecha, or the issue of taking revenge. So the Kliyakar says that nothing in this world is worth taking revenge for. Nothing. No matter what anyone did, it's just not worth it. And he gives a mashal. He says, unless you're talking about a person who turned away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu and, you know, and is being Machas Hashem, that's a different story. But it's not regular, you know, a guy, you know, the examples are Rashi quotes, a guy who didn't let you do the shovel, like, it's not a big deal. And he gives a mashal. He gives a very interesting mashal. He says, let's say a guy comes and knocks down your kid's blocks. He's building with blocks. A guy comes and knocks down his kid's tower. The kid's furious. The kid's upset. The kid's angry. The father says to the kid, get over it. It's two blocks. Like, okay, so do. So he says, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at our problems that we have in this world, you know, problems, quote unquote, he looks at that like the father looks at the kid's blocks. He says, you're worried about this and that and that. Get over it. It's just a bunch of blocks. Like, what are you so worried about, right? So he says, it's not the that Kadosh Baruch Hu is ignoring our pleas. He's not ignoring our tears. He's not ignoring. Of course, the Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on. He says, Hashem says, like, what do you want from me? Like, you want me to, every time a guy comes and pushes down your block, your tower, your building, I'm going to, like, you know, turn the world upside down? It's ridiculous. He says, okay, so guy did something bad to you. Okay, so make up and get over it. Move on. So he says, that's the whole idea here. He says, when it comes to, you know, a person who's violating Torah, mitzvot, a person who's going against Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's a whole other story. But it's not a guy who's, you know, just did something stupid to you. So he says, just get over it. You know, just, it's like a tower of block. You know, just move on. Or Chaim says that the din of ahat l'rech kamucha, right? Of course, that Hashem wants you to love your friend like yourself, but he says you should never actually tell your friend that I'm loving you because a din, the oraisa, mitzvah, the Torah, that I have to love you. That's the famous din for the Rosh. Right? All the Rishonim asked the question, why is there no bracha on the mitzvah tzedakah, mishloach manos, all these different mitzvahs? So, well, why is there no bracha? So one of the many answers given is that how can you make a bracha on tzedakah? It's like the most like antithetical. It like defeats the whole point of tzedakah. It's like, I go to a guy, I don't really like you, but I want to do a mitzvah. Here, baruch atosh, I'm doing a mitzvah. Here's some tzedakah. Have a nice day. Like that defeats the whole point of the mitzvah. You can't make brachos on mitzvah b'edom lachaviro because that defeats the whole point of b'edom lachaviro. It's a b'edom lachaviro. Everything becomes a b'edom lachaviro. Everything becomes, you know, I'm from, so I wanna give you some tzedakah. No, you know, you want to get tzedakah because you wanna be yotzei mitzvah. You know that you actually want to help the guy out. So he says that obviously you can't have that. Of course, Kliyakar goes to the famous word Shabbos, where when the gear comes to Shabbat, the Hillel, right, teach me call Torah Kula on one foot, and Hillel says, right, even though he doesn't say Vahar, he says, right, Da'loch Savid, Lachar, Rachel Savid, right, that which is despicable upon you, don't do to your brothers, and everything else, just the parents go and learn it. So he says that why did the gear, like, why did the gear want to have, like a one-liner to sum up the whole Torah? Like, everyone else would seem to be okay with learning call Torah Kula, but the gear needed, like, to have, like, a one sentence to sum everything up. Why did he need that? So the Kliyakar says, because the gear didn't grow up learning Torah Mitzvah. So, like, he wasn't used to, like, you know, Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, and like he's like, listen, like this is too much for you. Just give me like one sentence. Like, what's the deal? Like, tell him in one line what the whole Iker of this was. Then he says, that's the bottom line of that. Then this is what Rabbeinu Bachai quotes in the beginning of the Torah goes on talking about the Yisra of Kelayim. The way the Torah opens the Yisra of Kelayim says Eschuko Sai Tishmoru Behemtecha Lo Ser BiKelayim. Very weird phrase. Why does it open up with Eschuko Sai Tishmor? I mean, I guess Kelayim is a chok. It's true. Kelayim is one of many examples of chukim in the Torah. So Rabbeinu Bachai says something very interesting. He says that everything that's created on this world has a koach and a mazel in the upper world, not just in this world. Because he says that Maaseh Bereishis, the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Samach points out that everything was created b'mino. Right? That's what we say in Vayechul. Right? We say that b'chol tzva'am, the Gemara says in Chulin, where Darshan's b'chol tziv yonam. Everything was already fully formed in the time of Maaseh Bereishis. He says when you start to mix different species, you're essentially being Soser by Sabratius. So he says, when you violate Kelayim, when you plant different things together, you're essentially trying to play God, and in essence, you're being a kofer b'emunas Hashem. That's essentially what's happening. Then he quotes Al-Pi Kabbalah that a chok is something which is good for the seichel because it challenges your intellect. You don't understand why this should be true, but it is. And he says that the world stands with Shlemus, but he says that a person, when you start to mix things that are eno b'mino, when you start to make Kelayim, so you start to be mevatel the kochos el-yodim. He says the word Kelayim, we say the Hebrew word for a prison is a beis hakela, the same word kelayim, because you're mevatel. The word kelayim means you're prevented from doing work. You can't do anything when you're in prison. You're stuck there. So he says the same thing here too. That when you do kelayim, you're holding back the potential of the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. He says that also Kain and Hevel were the first examples of kelayim in the world. It was a mixture of good and evil. He said they were combining two extremes together. That was the source for the issue of kelayim. Then he quotes also that there's a further issue of kelayim not only by planting, by behemos, right? You can't plow different types of animals together by Zraim, by Begadim, by Shadis. So he says that the teva of the nature of man and of animal is one and the same. And he quotes a woman is compared to a sada, right? That she's Makabal Zara. And he says that the carbon of Kain and Hevel was Tzemer Upishtim, which again is literally Shadis is Kelayim. And he says that we permit kelayim by tzitzis and by the big day kahuna b'shas avoda, because there you already have the extremes that are linked within the tzitzis. The tchilas itself, tchilas and the lavan are itself two extremes. So therefore, we can be matir kelayim in those contexts. The Orachai was an interesting way to explain the connection between Vahatler Chamocha and Kelayim. He says that one might have thought that the same way that there's a mitzvah for all Jews to join up and to be kind of have camaraderie, so one might say, oh, let's join up all types of animals and types of things like that. So Kamash Pula, no, there's an issue of Kelayim. Don't think that it's similar to the way Kelayim last time meet up like that. Then the Orachai also points out that we didn't enter Eretz Yisrael for the physical pleasures, but rather because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desired land, and the land is about muskalos, and we don't go in there just for Hanas HaGuf, which is an idea that we've seen many before talk about in the context of. And the Vacharim was also later in Kedushim about the Arayos, about how the Oretz is affected by the Arayos, Vatitma Haaretz, that sort of thing. Kliyakar points out that the Torah goes on to talk about the din of Orla, right? Shalosh Shanim Yelach Arilim Lo Yeachel. You can't eat the fruit of the first 3 years. So he says that the Emorim tried to make the fruit ripen faster, but he says that it's a Zecher Lemaisa Bereishis. Because why? Because the Ma'oros, as Rashi points out in Bereishis, were really created on the first day of creation, but they didn't come out until the fourth day. So he says that they didn't come out on Tuesday, but they were only seen on Wednesday. He says that so too said the fruit depend on the sun and the moon, and they depend, that's how they grow. So he says that that's a sort of a parallel to my separations. Then he says, Kliyakar says that no one benefited from the fruit until Thursday, until the mutter lechuliyam, right? The fifth year of all the fruits, right? Bashana chamishes is kodesh lulim Hashem. Everything becomes mutter because in the fifth year that was because Thursday was when the first animals were created. So there was really nothing in the world that benefited from the fruits until Thursday. Then Rabbi Bachai discusses the significance of Arla, where he says that the word Arla means to cover something up, and he says that that's the first fruits to ripen in the land, and he says that you should wait until the fruits are fully processed, until after the first 3 years, because in the first 3 years the fruits don't have so much tal, they don't have so much reach, right? They're not so good. They only really produce in the 40s. So the same thing is true, we know, by a girl. If a girl has bia under the age of 3, so the Gemara assumes that bisuleha chozrim. We assume that bia under 3 is meaningless because you don't really have any koach until you're in the fourth year, right? He says that the first 3 years, not only that, the first 3 years, if you eat the fruits, actually harmful to the body, because there's so much saturation in the fruit, there's so much moisture in the fruit that kind of it gets into your system. It hasn't dried out yet. It's just that's also one of the reasons why initially pound why fish what you can't eat fish without scales. Why? Because fish without scales live in a very deep part of the ocean, and therefore you also ingest all the moisture that comes along with those fish if you're eating those fish. It says that's why the same reason we can't eat Erla is the reason why you can't eat fish without scales. Interesting mushel. Then he says Al Pisechel, that the Shemaim and the Aretz are the reason why the fruit come forth. That helps them. The wind, and the air, and the sun. It says for the first 3 years, the aretz won't ripen the fruit, and the shemayim won't break down rain. Right? He says, but after that point, then the holy dove hits micha, then it'll take part in the development process. And then the Rambam, very much l'shitasa, we spoke about this a lot in Acharimos, or the Rambam's, in Mor Nevuchim, where he talks about how. A lot of these Yisurim are kind of reflective of the practice of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, which is instituted by Karbanos in general. The Rambam, very much L'shitaso, says that different types of witchcraft and sorcery were done with trees, so they put something next to it to make it grow faster. So Orla is to counter that Yisur. Very, very, Rambam and Aristotelian type of idea that Orla is really just to counter the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Then Rabbi Bechai, also in a similar notion, says that when discussing the Yisra of Lo Sochlu Al Adam, right, again, all the Gemara and Sanhedrin, my brachos, all there, 45 drushes about what that pasuk means and how the pasuk is referring to, but Pashup Shad is don't eat that. That's what the pasuk seems to be saying. So Rabbi Bechai says it means that they used to have some kind of a minog, the mechashman, the sorcerers used to pour blood into a pot so that the demons would gather around this pit, and they start to would tell them the future because they would eat from they would ingest the blood, and the blood, and they like the blood. So again, the Yisra of Lo Sochlu Adam. Again, the Rabbi Lishitaser, and Rabbi Bechai is quoting this, is not to emulate the ways of the Mitzrayim, but the ways of the Mechashvim is Davka not to do that.
Wow.
Also, Rabbi Bechai has a very interesting, very a nice idea. He says we know that one of the drushes that the Gemara has on Lo Sochlu Adam is that when you're judging Dina Nefashis, right, you're not allowed to eat before you judge Dina Nefashis cases. So he says, so Rabbi Bechai quotes, he says that that's why Dayanu would Davka judge in the morning, so that this way they would be able to eat, right? In other words, they'd be able to finish the case and then go and eat, because otherwise, if the judge's case at the end of the day, they couldn't eat the entire day. So he says, that's the reason why we fast in Yom Kippur. Why? Because Yom Kippur, we're in Mamish and Din for Din and Nefashos for our lives. So he says, how can you eat on Yom Kippur if you're literally sitting in Din and Nefashos all day? So that is, when you're sitting in Din and Nefashos, right, you're not allowed to eat? So he says, that's why we fast on Yom Kippur. Also, the Orachai points out that Adam Arishon sinned, we know, from eating from the Eitz HaDa'as too early. He quotes the Medrash that says that had Adam waited until that night, he could have used the grapes to make for wine for Kiddush. And he says as a result, that's what led to the Chet. Then, oh, this is wild. So Rabbi Bechaya quotes the din of Lo Sashkes Eis Pas Karecha, the issue of shaving, right, rounding off the pay is to shave with the razor. So Abi Pshati says that basically what you're doing is that the reason why this issue is essentially just reflective of the issue of Kelayim, because you're removing the distinction between man and a woman. That's essentially what it is. You're kind of botching the distinction. So he says, we said before, Libi Deo by Spiration, so it's just a kind of a repeat of the issue of Kelayim. That's the Pash Pshat. Then he quotes Alpi Seichel. He says, look, there are five spots on the face that you can't shave with the razor, and whatever those spots exactly are. So he says like this, a person who doesn't shave at all, so he says, he says that the five spots are connected the five senses, right? So he says if the person doesn't engage with the five senses whatsoever, so you'll die. You have to engage all of that somewhat, right? You have to be partially part of all of that. On the other hand, though, he says that if you fully engage that, so that's also not good. You want to find some kind of, you know, this is a classic Rabbeinu Bechaya idea of people stopping the mu'ah, kind of finding that balance, finding that middle ground. So he says that l'chora, this is my kind of weird interpretation of Rabbeinu Bechaya, that if you're, when a person shaves, it represents the fact that they're only partially engaged in Olam Hazeh. If you don't shave, you're like, you're fully engaged in Olam Hazeh, because the five spots on the face are dafka connected to the Chamish HaChushim. So if you don't shave at all, so that represents the fact that you're fully engaged, you're fully into Olam Hazeh. If you shave, so you're holding back a little bit, which is, you know, very ironic.
Like
very, you know, very much Ipcha V'stavra. But that's what he says. Then also, Alpi Kabbalah, he quotes, it has to do with the Osios of Shem HaShem, but he also talks about how there could be, how the Chachmei HaTeva wrote that there are parts of the body where hair grows that are connected to other parts of the body, and there are gidin that run from one part of the body to the other. He says when hair sprouts in one place, it sprouts in another. So that's the reason why women and why Srisim don't have beards, because they don't have this kind of tachton. So he says that there's kind of tachton is lacking. And he says there could be that there's an isser, not only, you know, there's an isser to shave, you know, to shave the beard with the razor, says there could be also an isser to shave his kind of tachton also. So he says that isser is probably only an isser to Rabbanan. But he says that there's probably also an isser to some degree to shave the kind of tachton as well. What? I think so, yeah, I think so. Then the Or HaChaim talks to the pasuk that says, right, Al Techalos Bitchala has no son, right? Don't allow your daughter to be a zona. So Or HaChaim says it just means that don't display your daughter publicly, right? She needs sandua. And I, what about the fact that she has to get married and there's a shit of crisis and whatever? So he says, you're right. The problem is that we don't want, you know, men to have all sorts of taivas and all sorts of things like that. So he says, what are you going to do? You have to kind of keep her in a situation with sandua. And then you have whatever other people today who are like, oh, you can't say that, you can't say that, whatever. But that's what the Or HaChaim says. Then he says, Or HaChaim goes on, he says that, first of all, a person not doesn't necessarily always have control, meaning a person can, I don't want to say this, keep his daughter locked up, but on the other hand, he says, maybe the girl will go and be Mizana on her own. Like, you can't always protect her. So he says, there are three reasons why a child may end up becoming, you know, a rotten egg, essentially. A child may become bad in nature. Either because when a person was engaged in relations with his wife, he had a kavana for hana, as opposed to just for the purpose of puruvu. Number two, because the woman herself is not good. She has some certain negative trait. Or maybe because the father or the mother had some sort of, they thought of something bad when Shas Tash, which that could all be theoretical reasons why the child turned out the way that the child did. Then the Chasam Sofer also points out by the Pasuk, so he says when you stand up for the Zakeh, for the Seva, you're kind of like drawing from their wisdom, you're engaging in their wisdom a little bit. The Kli Yakar says that a Zakeh is a bigger chiyuv of kavod of kibbutz for a Zakeh than for a Seva, because a Zakeh, the Gemara Darshan Kiddushin, is that kind of Chachma. So the Zakeh was kind of the Chachma on his own, the Seva kind of just had all the title there to begin with. And the Or HaChaim is an interesting shot that it means when it says the Hadarta Pnei Zakein, it refers to Avram. Avram, who's called Zakein Ba Bayamim, because Avram was the one who davened to Hashem to make old age in the first place, to distinguish between him and Yitzchak, because they look the same. So you're honoring Avram when you stand up for an old person, because he was the one who asked for it in the first place. Then Pasuk says, right, Or HaChaim notes in the Pasuk of Yogur Itcha Ger, that Gerim come from Avram Avinu, as you know, and he says that the Eretz HaKedusha, they draw out these neshamos that were captured, and he says that the difference is that even though our avos were clearly not the same avos as the avos of the Gerim, but when we were Gerim in Mitzrayim, we were mixed up with the Klipos of Mitzrayim, so the Nefesh HaGer also, and that's what some of the Farshim said, that Ger is basically a neshama that kind of got lost in the mix, they kind of got lost in the shuffle, they really belong in the Klai, so they kind of just got lost in the shuffle of the other neshamos. And also, the Chasam Sofer has a little bit of Harif Musar, where the Pasuk says, Rav Hizkai Yishtem Yisem Kedoshim, Ki Ani Hashem Elokechem Mushmartem Eschuk Ozai. So he says, if you want to know how to be Kadosh, he says, you don't need to do his Torah, you don't have to be Kadosh, just follow Torah Mitzvah. He says, Torah gives you a Siyah, Torah gives you Hagdaros, follow Torah. He says, what, you have to be more firm than a Kadosh Baruch? Kadosh Baruch tells you how to be firm. He tells you, keep 613 Mitzvahs. When you do all that, then you can come back and see if you, you know, can add on to that.
Almost militates against the beginning of the program.
Yes, correct. Right? Yes, correct. Rabbeinu Chai quotes a Mavish Apeladik Adin, the word in Sanhedrin, quotes his din. The Pasuk says, Ashim Mizaro Lamolech Mosimas. So the Gemara says, Mizaro Velokol Zaro. The Gemara is a Chiddush. The Gemara seems like a Xeris HaKasim almost. If you give part of your kids to Molech, then you're Chayiv Skila. Right? If you give all your kids to Molech, then you're Pasuk. Again, how that happens, Basachas, whatever. It tells us how that, what the Matias is. So Rabbeinu Chai says, I don't understand. Like, again, you want to say Xeris HaKasim, but how could you be Chayiv Misa for giving two of your kids but not four? Like, what does that mean? So he says, no, it's Pasuk. He says that Misa's Benzin is a Kapara. If you only gave a couple of your kids to Molech, okay, Zel Zayin, so we'll get Kapara for you. If you give all of your kids to Molech, you're a Russian government, you don't deserve Kapara, you don't deserve Kapara, so you're going to get all your Onish and all of Abba. So that's why we can't give you any Onish in this world. The Rambam, once again, Lashitaso, he says that the fire worshippers would strengthen their belief in their God by threatening to kill the children of people who didn't pass them to Molech. So therefore, he says, especially the women who were docked in Kalos, they would rush to kill their kids so that they wouldn't have to experience the drawn-out pain later on. So he says that, again, Dafka Molech, the Isra Molech, is to go connect those fire worshippers who were trying to get people to do that. And there's interesting Machlokas Rambam and the Ramban about whether we always assume that Molech, you know, you pass the kid over to the priest, to the fire. So that's what the Rambam seems to assume. They pass the kid through many times until the kid died. The Rambam seems to say that they didn't actually kill the kid. The kid never died. They passed the kid through a fire, not literally through a fire, but maybe over a fire. L'shem Molech. Doesn't sound like they actually killed the kid. The kids didn't necessarily die, but they did it l'shem Avodah Zarah. That was the problem. That's what the Rambam sounds like. The Orach Chaim, that there's no Roshem on for Molech for other people's children, only for your own children. So he says, therefore, a person might have thought that since an Aviv and an Imo, right, each parent has a certain chelek in the child, so one might have thought that if a person, let's say, right, the Isra of Kiyakalas, Aviv, Yasimo, Mosimas, so one might have thought if I only curse one of the parents, so maybe I'm not really chayek because I'm only Mimasiach is the part of myself. So Kamash Malah, that you're chayek for each one. And he says, because we know the Gemara Nida says that so one might have thought the father's not responsible for the sons and the mother's not responsible for the daughters. So kamash b'lan, that it works both ways. Okay, then a lot of the first point that the Chasam Sofer and Rabbeinu Bachai note that in the parshas of Arayos, which are repeated the kedoshim for the onesh, so there's certain of the Arayos that are not mentioned. So first of all, the Isra of an ant out of kavod for Moshe because his parents were uncle and niece. Yocheved and Amram, and he says that by Yaakov married two sisters, right? That's also not repeated, right? So in other words, those Yisurim are repeated as well as by Cain marrying his sister. So the Chasam Sofer asks, yeah, but the Torah still says Avodah Yisau, which seems to include all Yisuri Arayos anyway. So how does that circumvent the problem? So he says it could be that one might have thought that since these people, these Gedolim, Dafka built the world up Dafka through these Arayos, as we know, Olam Chesed Yibanim with Cain, so one might have thought that it's Dafka a good thing. So Torah says, no, Kamash Malah, that was like a Horah Shah, but in general, Avodah Yisau. Then the Chasam has a very interesting beer of, you know, everyone asks him, Kashi, how could Yaakov marry two sisters, right? Leaving aside the whole quote about Torah thing, but if, you know, even Aniach, that somehow was a problem, so he says that it's the reason why two sisters can't get married is because, right, the Pasuk says, Litzror, right, there's going to be competition. So he says, Rachel gave the siman over Leah. There's no competition anymore. She gave, I mean, even though later on that Vatikani Rachel Ba'achosa, which seems to kind of be choser from her initial stance, but Lechora, her giving the siman was the biggest raya that she's not jealous of her sister. Well, raya, she gave the siman, she literally gave up her opportunity of marrying Yaakov seemingly to her sister, so there's clearly no enmity between her and her sister at that point. Oh, interesting. Also, idea. The Chasam Sofer points out that if we had only inherited Eretz Yisrael as a schus avos, so any shevach that the goyim improved the land for, so we would be chayav to pay them. That's a din. Generally, right? Whenever there's shevach to land, you have to even. Let's have if a person comes onto your land shalom kedin, but he improves your land, so the halacha is you have to compensate it for the work, even though he wasn't supposed to be there. But he says, but now we're the bali chov, so then does the bali chov collect all the shevach? So now that we're bali chov on the goyim, so we take anything that they improved comes back to us. We know, of course, the Torah about the Isser of living with a sister, so he uses the word chesed. So it's a strange word. Rabbi Nochai calls it the Ramban. The word chesed just means an extreme. Beil tov, beil ra. It doesn't have to be good or bad. So we chesed, when it's used in a good connotation, means you're above and beyond what you're expected to do. Here it means you're doing something that's way out of the norm. Oh, this is also an interesting idea. Chasam Sofer says at the end of the parsha, the pasuk says "Behiv dal tempeh habehimah torah latmeyov and ofa tamela tohoi." Says that Klal Yisrael, if they don't stand out from the rest of the world, they're going to be batal berov ha'olam. They're going to be batal berov, right? Because there are 60 because of the Bnei Kush. The Gemara says Tainus are 1/60th of the world. They're going to be batal b'shishim. They're going to be batal in the rest of the world. He says, but a davar hanikar, a davar chashuv, is not batal. So he says, if we act in a way that we deserve to be chashuv, we deserve to be a davar hanikar, so then we're not going to be batal with the rest of the world. Finally, last idea, the Rabbi Bechai just quotes that the umos of a pasuk avdil aschem ben ha'amim lihi yosli. We're going to be separated from the umos from the nations of the world because they're jealous of all of our mitzvahs. They're jealous of the way that we act, the way we comport ourselves, the way that we have a fulfilling life. So he says that's what the Ubos Olam are looking at.